as we usually do, the 7:30 hour here on Monday Morning Maine. We check in live with R.W. Estella. Good morning, R.W.
Hey, good morning, Allison. Something seems appropriate about today being not only Harry Houdini's birthday, but also the birthday of a new government for the nation of Bhutan. Given what Bhutan has managed to maintain for itself during the past 100 years of its remarkably benevolent Wang Chuk dynasty, the nation is going to need nothing short of some fairly powerful magic to make a smooth transition from Himalayan kingdom to democracy. My first interest in Bhutan was peripheral and began in the 1960s while I was adding my name to one after another of the summit ledgers at the tops of the Colorado 14ers I was climbing. Soon I was wanting to know about all things alpine on all continents, the more remote the better. Naturally, the Himalayan fascinated me most. One quirky little book that had just come out was Mustang, The Forbidden Kingdom, by an adventurer named Michael Peisel, whom his contemporaries referred to affectionately as a British-educated French authority on Tibet. Peisel's work dealt with literally the loftiest cluster of places on the planet, namely extreme southern and southwestern Tibet, and two kingdoms within a couple of hundred miles of each other, Mustang and Bhutan, along Tibet's southern border. In Tibetan, Mustang is sounded Muntan and is known as the thumb in the eye of Tibet. His earliest travels into the region were within 5 or 6 years of the current Dalai Lama's escape from Tibet, and Peisel became acquainted with a number of Kampa warriors who were part of the elite Tibetan tribe that had served as the Dalai Lama's personal bodyguard and had originally fomented resistance against the Chinese invasion of the late 1950s. Until China forcibly occupied Tibet, the country was the world's oldest theocracy. In 600 AD, Tibet began to develop into a unitary state, and by 632, Buddhism had become the state religion in Tibet. Within a decade, the Tibetan king Xuanzang Gampo ordered the construction of two Buddhist temples, one at Bumthang in central Bhutan and the other at Kyuchu in Bhutan's Paro Valley. Hence, in both Tibet and Bhutan, Buddhism absorbed the precursory Bon religion, with Buddhist literature and chronicles subsequently beginning the recorded history of both Tibet and Bhutan. Plenty of military activity would occur, however, in both lands for several centuries to come, as evidenced still by the many tsongs, easily defensible fortresses, most all of which remain intact in Bhutan, although a smaller percentage so now in Tibet. Frequently, joint Tibetan-Mongol forces would temporarily gain an upper hand, as they did for a while during the 11th century, occupying all of Bhutan. The great late medieval consolidator for Bhutan was an expatriate Tibetan Drukpa monk named Nyagwang Nyamgal, who arrived in Bhutan in 1616 seeking freedom from the domination of Lhasa's Dalai Lama at the time, known as Ocean Lama. Fast forward through a couple more centuries of political hills and valleys to 1907, when Bhutan becomes a unifying kingdom under its first hereditary king, Ugyen Wangchuk. Four coronations later, in 2006, the latest Druk Gyalpo, Bhutanese for king, is Jigme Khesar Nyamgyal Wangchuk, who's been educated at Oxford and, like his father before him, is well-loved by his people and fully intends to give them democracy, whether they want it or not. Depending upon whose count of the population one goes by, various governments, various agencies, or various media, Bhutan has anywhere from 600,000 to over 2 million citizens. For example, in its World Factbook on Bhutan, the United States Central Intelligence Agency makes a note that, quote, the Factbook population estimate is inconsistent with the 2005 Bhutan census results. Both data are being reviewed, and when completed, the results will be posted on the World Factbook website later this year, estimated July, close quote. In this relatively little but fantastically beautiful country, mass tourism is prohibited, and the number of tourists per year is limited to 20,000, with each paying a $200 per day tax. Bhutan has no tour buses, no theme parks, no litter, no traffic lights, no traffic jams to speak of, although it has 8,000 kilometers of roads, 5,000 of them paved. The king first allowed television and the internet in 1999 into the land of the Thunder Dragon, which is what the name Bhutan means in Dronka, the Bhutanese language. Instead of preoccupation with an index such as a gross domestic product, the monarchy in Bhutan for some time now has been most interested in its subjects enjoying a significant degree of what has been termed the gross domestic happiness. To be sure, the election today is happening only because the king has willed it so. The International Herald Tribune reports that, unlike the upheavals that have so often been the midwives of democracy around the world, Bhutan has never been more peaceful or prosperous. Yeshe Zimba, one of the candidates for the new parliament to be, says, "No one wants this election," as he campaigns door-to-door in the capital of Thimphu. "His Majesty has guided us this far, and people are asking, why change now?" Maybe in honor of Harry Houdini's birthday today, they'll all become magicians, or at least try to make as much magic as they can to keep democracy from becoming as messy a deal as it has in other places in their neck of the hemisphere. Good luck, Bhutan. And for us here on our half of the globe, well, we finally made it to spring. From Orono, Maine, have a great day.